Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Covered Pearls. You're with me, Zakira Ansari, and it's a Monday afternoon, the 22nd of February, the 12th of Jumad al-Ula. Subhanallah, time running away from us, edging closer and closer to the blessed days of Ramadan. And indeed, we await this blessed month of Ramadan, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to reach this month of Ramadan with full strength, full of vigor and full of enthusiasm, and of course with an elevated level of spirituality, inshallah. Welcome to the program, ahlan wa sahlan. It's great being in your company this Monday afternoon, and in today's program of Covered Pearls, you can expect the following. Starting off the program, we will have our Muslima news segment, which alhamdulillah has become quite a catchy segment, a lot of the listeners sending feedback on how they're enjoying it. And the rationale or reasoning behind this is that, because I know from time to time, each and every one of us being a Muslima, despite your profession or what life, your daily life may comprise of, each and every one of us takes out a little time each day to sit down and through whichever medium we choose, to get to know what is happening in this world around us. And subhanAllah, you know, many moms are of the opinion that the reason they need to do this is so that they can have meaningful conversations with their kids as well. Because as we know, with the teenagers being so clued up, and, you know, it often happens that they find us to be in a time warp when they want to speak to us about something that's current, that's relevant, and we're not up to speed with what's happening around us. So yes, it is very important as a Muslima to know what is happening around us. And so the stories that come to me week by week via social media and other print media, etc., I choose a few of them which are Muslima related, and I bring them to you on the program on a weekly basis. And alhamdulillah, from the response that I've been receiving, the sisters are really enjoying it. Well, today's program is no different. We will have our Muslima news segment, in which we will share with you a few stories that caught my eye in the week. And these may not be current stories. Some of them are from last year. One in particular is from last year, but recently it has started making its rounds on social media, and I felt that it would be very interesting to share it with you and get your perspective. Thereafter, we will do the Through the Eyes of a Muslima, the Tafsir segment of the program. And as you know, we specially dedicate our tafsir segment to the Muslima. We discuss ayat from the Quran that specifically deal with the needs of a Muslima. Now, with the current story in the news of the Zika virus, and with the response from the Pope and the Vatican, and how they are quite concerned about the spread of the Zika virus, but at the same time, they are saying that due to Catholic religious rulings, that it is impermissible for women to have abortions and to go on to contraception. So, you know, this has sparked quite a bit of an uproar in the Americas. And I thought, you know, while reading through these stories, it's now been a few days that the story is making news in various sectors, I thought, why not look at it from a Muslim perspective? And why not look at it from the perspective where, of what Islam teaches us about this? So, what is the perspective on Islam and abortion, on Islam and contraception? A story that definitely caught my eye, and also a discussion rather that comes up time to time. And there's always a sister that's sending me in a query with regards to contraception, its permissibility, etc. So I felt that it would have been great for us to discuss that on the program today. And then lastly, as you know, we have our Female Masail segment, and in today's Female Masail segment, we will be discussing a rather adult-natured topic. We will be discussing intimacy and hayz. So inshallah, when we do come to that segment of the program, if you have the little ones around, then it would be best to turn off the radio and inshallah listen to a podcast of the program, or excuse them from the room. Welcome back to the program Covered Pearls, a program that comes to you live out of Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. You're with me, Zakira and Sirmia, and inshallah we will be together for the next half an hour or so. Well, it is a Monday afternoon. Now, I'm not sure about the rest of you, but I tend to find that every Monday afternoon, I feel so tired. It's like this Monday afternoon slump. Now, I'm not speaking about usual Monday blues, because despite the fact that on a Monday morning, when we wake up, we make these good, positive mindsets, and, you know, we change our intentions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a most productive day, and a week ahead for that matter, it just seems to be that on a Monday afternoon, because you've crammed so much into your weekend, or I'm not sure whether it's because our schedules are so drastically different from weekdays where we have late nights and altered eating times, etc. And perhaps this is why psychologists tell us that we should try and keep our weekend sleeping and eating times the same as weekdays. Then we will not suffer from Monday blues, right? And subhanAllah, it just happens. I'm not sure if it's just with my family, but I suppose with many households, it just happens that on a weekend, things are so different. Schedules are so upside down, and we don't get to do things at the same time that we do on weekends, because everyone's much more relaxed. There's no constraint on anybody's time, everyone being free and at home, etc. But nevertheless, let me know what you feel about Monday afternoon slumps and how you change things for yourself, and what tips you can give us to change things so that we don't feel so tired when it comes to a Monday afternoon. This is indeed a reality. But at the same time, yes, as we know, life goes on and we need to continue. So first and foremost, before I go into my Muslimah news segment for today, I'd like to apologize about last week due to some technical glitches that we were experiencing. Unfortunately, we could not come to you live and you listened to a repeat of the week before's program. Inshallah, all that is now something of the past, and we come to you with a new program today, fresh ideas, lovely stories, and I'm hoping that you're going to enjoy it. Well, in our Muslimah news segment today, the first story is touching on something that we spoke about last week and the week before, and that was about little Maria, who had completed her Quran in just 2 years. A sister tagged me in a post that spoke about a little Nigerian girl that completed her Quran at the tender age of 3. Subhanallah. Now, this was definitely an absolutely heartwarming story to see how this young little girl, only 3 years of age, has, alhamdulillah, completed the complete memorization of the Quran. And then going from the very young, today's story goes to the older generation and our elders in the community. And this also teaches us never to give up on our dreams. Today's story is about a Ghazan mother, Sister Fatima, who is from Gaza. And in 2016, one of her greatest achievements was to have completed her bachelor's in Ahadith studies. Now, what is so special about Sister Fatima? It is her age. She is 82 years of age. Subhanallah. So, Sister Fatima has completed her studies now at the age of 82, and she says that it is because of the Israeli apartheid on Palestine, etc., and, you know, the occupation on Palestine, rather. That is why her studies were interrupted and she could not conclude. But she never ever gave up on her dream, and she felt that one day she would complete it. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed her to see this dream of hers to fruition. Now, this is indeed a story that brings us so much of hope, as many of us, I'm sure, have this one dream that we want to fulfill, and we say, even if it takes me my entire life, I will fulfill this dream. I will complete it, and I will see it to fruition. And my dua today is that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the ability, the tawfiq, the time, the energy to see our dreams to fruition. Because each and every one of us, I'm sure, have some dream that we would like to see come to reality before we pass away and before we meet our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for all those sisters who have dreams that they'd like to fulfill, whether it be dunyawi or whether it be dini, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of you out there. Our next story is from Port Louis, Mauritius. And this is a story that comes to us from sometime last year, but it has resurfaced on social media and it has been doing its rounds, so I thought I'd share it with you. It's a story about the first female president in Mauritius. Yes, Sister Amina Ghorib Fakhim has been elected the first female president of Mauritius. Now, who is she? She is an internationally renowned scientist and biologist, and she was sworn into parliament and inaugurated sometime last year around June. And yes, so these are her credentials, and this is what her new portfolio looks like. So that is Sister Amina, and I thought I'd bring the story to you because indeed it is a feather in the cap for Muslimas to see that Muslimas are going places. Now, yes, there may be the rulings with regards hijab, maharim, all of this, but nevertheless, you know, when we look at these stories, let's use it to motivate, and especially our younger generation, mothers and sisters. Our younger generation has big dreams and aspirations, and the only way that I find being a teacher of young girls, those in the universities and those in high schools, I can tell you that often they have these big dreams and they have these aspirations, but sometimes they feel that the Islam is a stumbling block. The Islam is a hindrance to them fulfilling these dreams and aspirations. So we need to be there to show them that no, Muslim women are going places and doing things and seeing their dreams to fruition. So do not ever give up on your dreams and aspirations. So inshallah, this is my reasoning for bringing to you this story today. And I hope that by sharing it with you, you will inshallah be able to motivate your teen and let her know that no dream is too big. And if she just puts her mind to it, being a Muslima, following her deen, ensuring that her deen is what she places first and foremost, it will never be difficult for her and she will never ever have to give up on her dreams. Now that is a wrap of our Muslima news segment for this afternoon. We will now go for the second ad break of the hour. When we return, inshallah, we return with our Through the Eyes of a Muslima segment. And in the segment of the program, we will be looking at ayat from the Quran that specifically speak about the Muslima or specifically have to do with the Muslima. And in these ayat, there are sometimes news stories that I also pick on. And, you know, whilst reading these news stories, I like to bring you the Islamic perspective on these news stories. And therefore, today I've chosen the story that is doing its rounds. It's about the Vatican, the Pope, and Zika virus. So join me on the other side of this commercial break, where we bring to you the story in our Tafsir segment, Through the Eyes of a Muslima.
ارجع لربك واتكر وعلى الشياطين انتصر ما العيب في أن تنحني لله أو أن تنكسر كل ابن آدم مخطئ والخير في من يعتبر لا خير في من يستميت على المعاصي أو يصر عد يا أخي فالحق شمس في الظهيرة تستعر من لا يراها غافل أعمى البصيرة والبصر فإذا أردت سعادة وجنان خلد تزدهر ونهاية مأمونة فارجع لربك واعتذر واسلك سبيل محمد عالم الهدى خير البشر
عالم الهدى خير البشر. يا لؤلؤا قد صان عفتها الخمار.
This one's for the ladies. Tune in to Sister Zakira's program, Covered Pearls, every Monday 2 to 3 p.m. for an informative and lively discussion on all things Muslimah related. Join Sister Zakira as she hosts a Q&A session and discusses various masail related to women. Listen in for some encouraging inspiration and motivational nasiha. Covered Pearls, the program Muslimahs everywhere.
Yes, it's time for our tafsir segment through the eyes of a Muslima. And alhamdulillah, the past 2 weeks now, I've been bringing to you stories that are news related, even in our tafsir segment. And the reason for this is because I'd like to give you the Islamic perspective on these news stories. Last week, we spoke about Mandla Mandela's nikah to Rabia Clark. And we spoke about the rulings with regard a Muslim woman marrying a non-Muslim man and a non-Muslim man marrying a non-Muslim woman, vice versa. And all the rulings that went with that and, you know, the permissibility, the impermissibility, etc. And I hope you enjoyed the perspective that I brought you in last week's discussion. In this week's program, inshallah, we will be speaking about the Vatican and the Pope's stance that they have against pregnant women and the Zika virus. So that's what we are bringing to you in this week's tafsir segment through the eyes of a Muslima. But before we go into our tafsir segment, I'd just like to remind you about those interaction details. You could send me a WhatsApp or a normal text message on the number 061-406-2688, or you could drop me an email on the email address za@radioislamlive.com. It's great being in your company this afternoon, whether you are listening to us via the medium wave frequency 1548, or whether you are listening to us via satellite or audio streaming on www.radioislam.org.za. Now, what is it that we are speaking about the Zika virus and the Pope and the Vatican? Why is all of this so important to a Muslim, and why am I bringing it to you on the program this afternoon? Well, Pope Francis has suggested that contraceptives may now be used to prevent the spread of Zika virus. This is after he made a comment that no woman who is pregnant who is at risk of contracting the Zika virus may have an abortion to terminate her pregnancy. He says that according to Catholic rules and regulations, religious rules and regulations, it is totally impermissible to do so. Now, at a press conference aboard a flight from Mexico to Rome on Thursday, the Pope was asked whether the Church should consider contraception as being the lesser of the two evils compared to the possibility of women aborting their fetuses that are infected with Zika. And, what is Zika virus? Well, before I tell you what the Pope then said, let me give you a quick insight on what Zika virus is. It is a virus linked to an incurable and often devastating neurological birth defect. The Pope's first answer was by calling abortion an absolute evil and a crime. He went on then to say that he is to kill someone in order to save another, and this is totally mafia-like. He then said that the lesser of the two evils would be that the female who thinks that she may contract the Zika virus should rather use contraception and not become pregnant then in the first place. So all those women who are in areas where the Zika virus has now become common, and subhanAllah, in the latest news, I've actually read that the first case of Zika virus has been reported even in South Africa. So yes, these are things that we hear about from time to time in the news, etc., about these, ailments and illnesses that are now popping up even on our South African shores. And I thought I'd bring to you the perspective, or rather the Islamic perspective, on what is permissible with regards to abortion and contraception, etc. This is also a question that comes up from time to time. So we're going to start off right on the top with abortion, and thereafter we're going to take a look at contraception as well. So with regards to abortion, firstly, Islam regards human life as sacred, and we learn this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in an ayah of the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ Sadaqallahu al-Azim, and verily we have honored the children of Adam. So it does not matter whether life exists, whether it be an extra-uterine life or intra-uterine life, whether the soul has been blown in or not, its location is of no significance on its sanctity. The sanctity applies not only to human life, but to the human body as well. Hence, according to the Sharia, the physical body of a human after death is just as sacred as it was before. The death and sanctity of the degree of sanctity of life is greater than that of the body, and this is one of the reasons why it is unlawful to consume the meat of another human being as well. Well then, what is the Shari'i ruling on abortion? Well, abortion can be divided into two stages. The first being A, that is once the ruh, the soul, has entered the body, and the second being B, before the ruh or soul has entered the body. Now, before mentioning the ruling on abortion, let's understand these two stages. It must be remembered here that according to the Sharia, the ruh, that is the soul, enters the fetus at around 120 days, that is after about 4 months of conception. The jurist and the fuqaha have based this duration upon a Quranic verse and a statement of Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the hadith and the Quranic statement that corroborates this. The Quranic ayah is ayah 12, 13 and 14 of Surah Mu'minun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي سُلَالَةٍ مِّن طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا النُّطْفَةَ فِي قَرَارٍ مَّكِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Now, subhanAllah, this is such a beautiful ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that verily He has created man from a little small insignificant piece of clay. A man was initially a drop of sperm that was placed in a resting place and he was firmly fixed. Now we know if we read through how the fetus and the embryo actually comes about. It is first, as it mentioned, the sperm, which is infused with the egg, and thereafter it becomes embedded into the uterine wall. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, then we place the sperm into a clot of congealed blood. And then of that clot we made a fetus. We made it into a lump. Then we made out of that lump bones, and we then clothed it with flesh. Then we developed out of it another creature. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave this fetus. Not only now did it have the bones and the form of a human, the flesh started coming on, the nails, the hair, the eye sockets were then filled with the eyes, the nostrils were then created, the lips, the gums, the subhanAllah, all this came into place. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we developed out of it another creation, meaning the actual human being, by breathing life into it. And lastly, Allah concludes the ayah by saying, so blessed is Allah, the most marvelous of creator. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most marvelous of creators. Now in the hadith as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is recorded to have said in the books of both Bukhari Sharif and Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it is mentioned that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a hadith by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, is mentioned to have said that the seed of one of you remains in the womb of the mother for 40 days in the form of the nutfa, that is sperm. Then it remains like a clot for another 40 days, and then for the same number of days, like a lump of flesh. When the formation of the limbs and the growth of the bones begin, this continues then, and it goes into the next 40-day period. Now, according to a great Hanafi faqih, Ibn Abidin, he says that the soul enters the fetus at around 120 days, as is mentioned, after 4 months. And therefore, the ruling of abortion in this stage is that it is absolutely haram, as it is tantamount to killing a living human being, you know, because this soul is then blown into the fetus, and the fetus is now a living being. So just as it would be to kill a grown adult human being, it would be the same to have the fetus sucked out of the womb in a case of termination of pregnancy or abortion. So this is then definitely declared haram and unlawful. But then we do get our exceptions. But before we go into our exceptions to the rule, let's go for an ad break. When we return, inshallah, we then look at scenario B, where it is mentioned what is the ruling before the ruh and the soul is blown into the fetus, and also what is the ruling if the mother's life is in danger, or if the sister that is now holding this fetus in her womb became pregnant as a result of rape, or what if she became pregnant as a result of zina, for that matter. So these are all things that are questions which come to our mind, and I'd like to have them all answered on the program today. So let's go for that ad break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with Through the Eyes of a Muslimah.
Al-Tawheed Islamic Center is now introducing morning-only alim and qari courses, as this will facilitate to pursue secular degrees in the afternoon, and is now introducing full-time hifz together with homeschooling, with separate classes for boys and girls. Tuition offered by qualified teachers with GDE curriculum. Learners will receive personalized and individual attention. For more information, contact Maulana Amir Ismail on 076-259-6967 or Qari Bashir Patel on 084-786-5123.
Sedges, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look at our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedges, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Have you visited Radio Islam's website at www.radioislam.co.za? Enlighten and benefit yourself by listening to audio podcasts of various on-air highlights. Listen or download discussions from categories such as current affairs, Salah awareness, family focus, loving our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hijab focus, as well as many other pertinent topics that affect a Muslim. www.radioislam.co.za, taking Muslims to deeper dimensions and greater heights in the forum of international media. This is Radio Islam International.
يا لؤلؤا قد صان عفتها القمار.
This one's for the ladies. Tune in to Sister Zakira's program Covered Pearls every Monday 2 to 3 p.m. for an informative and lively discussion on all things Muslimah related. Join Sister Zakira as she hosts a Q&A session and discusses various masail related to women. Listen in for some encouraging inspiration and motivational nasiha. Covered Pearls, the program Muslimahs everywhere.
It's the program Covered Pearls, and you're listening to me, Zakira Ansarmia. Yes, we are speaking about abortion and contraception in Islam, the permissibility and impermissibility thereof. Before the ad break, we spoke about why it is impermissible and haram to terminate a pregnancy after 120 days, that is approximately 4 months, and we said that then it is similar to killing a normal human being that is living on the earth, as the fetus by then has a soul, ruh, blown into it, and this fetus cannot then be sucked out of the womb, or the pregnancy cannot then be terminated. Now, when we speak about before 120 days, before 4 months, and we say that the soul is not yet blown into, the ruh is not yet blown into the fetus then, so the question arises, what then is the ruling? Now, aborting a fetus has been declared unlawful, we've understood that, because of the consensus of all Muslim scholars, but the reason is because it is regarded similar to how the pagan Arab would bury the infant girl alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very emphatically speaks about this in the Quran, in Surah Takbir, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَمٍ قُتِلَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the female infant will be asked, the female infant who was buried alive, when she will be asked, for which crime were you killed? Why were you killed? So, according to Ibn Abidin, he says that this is an act. This is an act that is absolutely prohibited, and therefore it is totally forbidden in Islam. But now, as I was saying, is it permissible then to terminate the pregnancy before 120 days? With regards to this stage, stage B, prior to the entry of the soul into the fetus, some say that it is haram even then, even before the soul is blown into the fetus. And the reason they give is that prior to the soul entering the body, this clot of blood which became a lump of flesh would then turn into a fetus. This fetus is considered to be part and parcel of the mother's body as long as it remains in the womb. Thus, just like how we have been given an amana to take care of any other limb of our body, we've also been given an amana to take care of this fetus within ourselves. So as a female, it will also be haram to terminate the pregnancy before 120 days without any valid reason. However, this impermissibility does fall away in certain circumstances. These extreme circumstances are as follows. As I mentioned to you before the break, if a female did become pregnant as a result of being raped, Allah save us, Allah save all our Muslim sisters, and especially our young girls out there, may Allah save us all from this heinous act. But if this does happen, then the ulama have ruled that it is permissible for the sister to then get an abortion done, and this will not be impermissible, this will not be unlawful. Another circumstance would be if the pregnancy is something that is detrimental to the mother's health. So it's either that due to repeat pregnancies, it has now become a danger to her health. So in that case, termination of pregnancy before 120 days will be permissible. And also, some ulama say such a woman, it will also be allowed for her to be on contraception. Now, yes, we are going to go into a complete discussion of contraception, and I think I'm going to leave that for next week, because this discussion is also quite a long and lengthy discussion with regards to contraception. But suffice to say that the ulama say that if it is detrimental to her health, then she can also go on to contraception. But if a lady is also pregnant already, and now it has become a great risk to her health, this growing fetus in her belly has now become a risk to her health, and it is between the mother's life and that of the fetus, then the mother's life will be taken into account, as it is said that this is already an established life and the fetus has not yet been given a soul or a ruh, is not yet a developed human being, and therefore the fetus will be able to be aborted and the pregnancy terminated. Now, what then is the ruling with regards zina? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, and don't even go near zina. And therefore, the ulama have come to the ruling and the consensus that if a lady does become pregnant out of wedlock due to zina, then in this case, she will not be able to terminate this pregnancy, as there is no ruling whatsoever that gives her the permissibility of doing this, as this was something consensual, this was something where, you know, she was in the right frame of mind when it took place, etc. And therefore, she will not be able to terminate this pregnancy without any valid reason. And really, if we look at it, there is no valid reason for her to terminate the pregnancy. The question then arises, the sad situation rather then is that, you know, what tends to happen from time to time is that due to the fact that unfortunately, it's become a stigma to society, and it's become a stigma in some households where a girl may be from a rich family, she may be from an affluent household, and now unfortunately this act has happened and she has become pregnant out of wedlock. What sometimes then happens, or what the mindset sometimes then is that, you know, to save the family from disgrace, this girl is then taken to a backdoor abortion clinic and is a pregnancy terminated. Now, we must remember, under no grounds and no circumstances is this permissible, be it before 120 days or be it after 120 days. This is absolutely unlawful and is totally haram. So, yes, that brings us to the end of our discussion, with tafsir discussion for this afternoon, with tafsir discussion through the eyes of a Muslimah. And our discussion this afternoon was on abortion. And I did want to do contraception as well, but our time has run out. It's now time for us to go for an ad break. And when we return, it will be time for our female Masail segment. So I think that, inshallah, we will leave the discussion on contraception for another week, inshallah. I will either bring it to you on the female Masail segment or here on the tafsir segment. Well, that just depends, inshallah, how our discussions unfold next week and the weeks thereafter. But I will be sure to bring you the discussion on contraception, as I know many sisters often send me queries with regard to this. So it's time for us to now go for the final ad break of the hour when we return our female Masail segment for today. Welcome back to the program. It's the final segment of the program here on Covered Pearls, and that means it's time for Female Masail. Now, as I mentioned to you in the intro, today's Female Masail discussion will be of an adult nature. So, inshallah, if you can keep the little ones away from the radio, if you can just excuse them, or if you cannot do that, then you can catch a podcast of the program later on this afternoon or even in the evening if you go to the Radio Islam website, to the podcast section under my name, Zakira Ansarmia. Inshallah, Sister Ruqayya should have put up the podcast of the program by tonight, and you can take a listen to it. We will be discussing hayd and intimacy. This discussion was because of a question that a sister posed to me with regards having had intimacy with her husband after she thought she was over with the hayd after having taken her ghusl and even prayed some salah. But after intimacy, she noticed that she started bleeding again. And it was during her 10 days. She is a Hanafi sister, so it was during her 10 days. If she had to be a Shafi'i sister, it would have been during her 15-day period. So her question was, what must she do? She's so perplexed and she feels so terrible about the whole thing. What is the recourse for her? So before I actually go into answering the sister's query, I'd like to tell you where this discussion stems from. And this discussion stems from an ayah of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 222, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ, and they come to you asking about the lady in menstruation. قُلْ فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى, say to them that this is an adha, this is something that is harmful, فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ, so stay away from the menstruating lady. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Now, when we look at this, 1400 years ago, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the Quran and the Sunnah, told us about it being adha, about it being something harmful. And now, 1400 years later, scientists are finding out that indeed, besides, what we can think of or the thoughts that come to mind about a lady being in menstruation and how she's cramping and everything is so sore, in that region. And therefore, it will be of harm to her to be intimate. But scientists have even found out that for a man, for the husband, it is even, a cause for concern, and it will be detrimental to his health if the couple do become intimate while the wife is in menses. So subhanAllah, what a beautiful deen we have, that nothing has been left out and everything has been so nicely condensed in our religion, so that even 1400 years ago we knew what the answers to this were. Now when we speak about intimacy, it is the actual act of intimacy. Cuddling, kissing, embracing, fondling, all of this is totally permissible, as in various ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives, namely Aisha and Maimuna radiallahu anha, speak about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become intimate with them when they were in the state of hayd. But this type of intimacy is explicitly explained, and it is mentioned that they would have an izar on, that is the bottom part of their body would be covered. And, the upper portion of the body is where the husband can take benefit from then. So we understand that intimacy can be many forms, but the actual act is what we refer to here when we speak about intimacy. So further on, I will be referring to it as intimacy, but inshallah you can understand it as being the actual act. So, yes, now that we've mentioned about covering up the area and taking benefit from any portion other than that specific area, we go on to then answering the sister's query. Now, it may not be necessarily that only in the sister's case where she was in the state of hayd, she thought her hayd was over, she took her ghusl and she resumed the salah, etc. And now when she became intimate, then she started bleeding. Sometimes this does happen, right? And the reason this happens, gynecologists tell us, is because whatever blood is left within this canal or this channel after intimacy, which uses the same channel, it automatically is a way and a means of it leaving the body, of it expiating the body. So this could be one of the reasons why the sister started bleeding again. But because it is within her 10 days, and she is a sister that doesn't have a set habit, obviously if she was a sister who has a set habit, we wouldn't even be worried about this, because despite the fact that you are bleeding, you have a set habit, so you will just stick to that set habit, and even if you bleed after that, you know, you won't have to consider it haid, it will just be considered istihada. But because she is a sister who doesn't have a set habit, then in this sister's case, it will also be considered haid, this bleeding that you are experiencing after intimacy. And the Prophet ﷺ has told us, encouraged us, that we need to give sadaqah if perhaps we fall into intimacy while in the state of haid. And let's face reality that when a couple is young, they are in heat, it could be that, you know, they are newly married. These things can happen. These things are not, you know, we are not like the malaika. Sometimes, from time to time, as well, we definitely need to remember one thing, that we need to stay away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as possible to the best of our ability. But these things do happen. And if this does happen, then we are told that we need to give some amount of sadaqah. You know, we need to give some money, some wealth in charity, and also we need to make sincere tawbah, both the husband and wife, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never ever return to this sin ever again. So yes, that is with regards intimacy during haid. There are some other aspects that I would like to cover from this ayah, because while doing research, there was another thought that came to mind about, you know, the place of intimacy and which passages are allowed and disallowed. And so, inshallah, I will discuss this on the program. But for now, we've come to the end of our time. Subhanallah, time goes so quickly, and before you know it, the hour is up. So until next week, same time, same place, you join me here on Radio Islam, the program Covered Pearls, and we will discuss much more with regards to Muslima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, send your prayers and peace forever on the one you have left, Rasulullah. Let me tell you about the story of the scarf. Let me tell you where the story had begun. He became paralyzed, all given up on him. He sat and wrote praises for a soul. Oh Allah, send your prayers and peace forever on the one you have left, Rasulullah. Let me tell you what followed on that night. In his moment of despair, he had seen a light. In his dream, he had seen our beloved standing and passing his hand over him. Oh Allah, send your prayers and peace forever on the one you have left, Rasulullah. Ya Rabbi, bil Mustafa, baligh maqasidana, waghfir lana, waghfir lana ma madha. Ya wasi al, ya wasi al karami. As-salatu was-salam alayka ya Rasul, Rasulullah, Nabi Allah. Oh Allah, send your prayers and peace forever on the one you have left, Rasulullah. Let me tell you how the story found its name. Let me tell you how the story found its end. When he woke that day, he found by his side the scarf that Rasul